الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولي الصالحين، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله الأمين، صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وعلى أصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون، أما بعد. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him abundantly. And we bear witness that there is no deity worthy of our worship except Allah. He is alone, having no rivals or partners. And He is the assistant of all those who are righteous and conscious of Him. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and His messenger, whom we ask Allah to exalt His mention and grant Him peace, and to send His salutations and His blessings upon him and upon his wives and his companions and all those who follow them on their path of righteousness until the day of recompense. All you who have believed, be mindful of Allah and fear Him the way He deserves to be feared. And do not die except in a state of submission as Muslims. To proceed. Brothers in Islam, with sound knowledge, one is able to move forward and progress. And with bad knowledge, one goes astray and leads others astray. And without knowledge, one is with no light. The second and the third options are destructive. And the first option is the only one available for the one who wants paradise. If we truly want paradise, it is not a mere wish. لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِيَّ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, as Allah said. It is not by your wish or the wish of the people of the book. The people of the book, they love fancy words. Christians, they love fancy words. We are the children of God. God loves everything. God loves everyone. Fancy terms that they cannot substantiate with any evidence except some distorted scriptures that are contradictory in and of themselves. It is not a mere wish, my brothers in faith. It is a journey and a mission. And what differentiates us Muslims from other religions, that we are not about ritualism. It is not about the rituals. It's not about the physical acts. It's about the intention, the belief, and the knowledge which accompany it. Everybody prays. Everybody does salah. What differentiates between their salah? The niyyah, intention. One can be showing off, and the other one is doing it for the sake of Allah. The belief system. One is fully conscious and aware that Allah is observing him in the salah, and the other one is shopping in his salah. Shopping in the supermarkets. Thirdly, knowledge. One knows how to pray. He knows how to begin the salah. He knows what to do before the salah. He knows the meaning of the salah, the meaning of the fatiha, the meaning of the surah he's reciting. He knows what to do in ruku', what to say in ruku', and what it means, what he's saying in ruku', until the end of salah. And if he were to make a mistake, he knows how to rectify it through the prostration of forgetfulness. He knows the rulings of salah. And another one does not. He's oblivious to all of that. He makes a mistake, he doesn't know. Is sujood al-sahw sufficient to rectify my salah? If I do two prostrations at the end, is that enough? Did I miss a pillar from the pillars of salah? A condition from the conditions of salah? Or just one of the sunan of the salah? which you can afford to miss out on without having to do the sujood. He doesn't know. And his salah may be invalid and he doesn't know. Or he might repeat the salah to be on the safe side and it wasn't necessary to repeat it. This is what differentiates the believers. These are the three elements. And believe it or not, the most important of them is the belief. Because from this belief comes knowledge, and from this belief come the intentions. They are a sub-product of this main product. And if we were to quiz ourselves in this matter, only Allah knows how many will pass and how many will fail. We hear things. Social media, Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, Twitter, so forth. Everybody's giving da'wah now. The social media is a platform for every Tom, Dick and Harry, Ahmed and Rabia to give da'wah. Anyone who has access has the choice, has the chance, has the opportunity. And the followers are many. People that are lost and confused. As soon as they see a new person on the scene, they just follow ala tool. Why? Something attracted them. But my brother, further investigation is required. You have to understand that the Prophet ﷺ already told us about those who will be eloquent in speech. It's not about eloquence. Christian priests, some of them give the most spiritual, outstanding talks. The crowd goes crazy, they fall in tears about kufr and shirk in Allah. He's feeling it, they're feeling it. That doesn't mean anything. Someone can do the same thing about worshiping Satan and it will have the same impact on the people if he is eloquent in speech, if he articulates it well enough. But that's not enough. So among the things which we are confused about today, and we praise Allah for legislating Jumu'ah, the opportunity to have all of us here, otherwise we wouldn't meet. There isn't another event except Eid, and even in Eid we are spread everywhere where we all meet on a weekly basis. No lunch, no dinner, no business, nothing can bring this brotherhood together but Jumu'ah. And some engage in other knowledge acquisition throughout the week, and some have absolutely no exposure to knowledge. So this is the only opportunity. So we use this platform to remove misconceptions and to awaken the senses. And it is aggressive, because that is the method of the Prophet ﷺ in delivering khutbah, to be aggressive. This is not the time for soft talk. People will fall asleep, go to other masajid. People are asleep. Imam reading from a piece of paper. For the whole khutbah, reading from a piece of paper. Anybody could read from a piece of paper, Shaykh. And the people have fallen asleep. We don't utilize Jumu'ah properly. We have to do our homework. The khatib has to do his homework. And the ma'mumin have to do their homework. It's upon you to beautify yourself, to perfume yourself, to shower, to look good, to come early, to park properly, and to try to catch a spot in the front rows. That's your obligation, my brothers, on Jumu'ah. And it's all part of the knowledge. But today the discussion is about the Quran. Wait a second, how many times have we discussed the Quran? Hundreds of times. But what exactly is the issue? The issue is a technical matter. A technical matter that otherwise wouldn't be mentioned had the misconception not been available already on the scene. This is similar to the discussion of where's Allah. It was in the natural fitrah of the believer that Allah Azza wa Jal is above his creation. above the throne in a manner which befits His majesty. That's the natural disposition of the son of Adam, including the disbelievers, who when a calamity strikes, they say, "Oh God, help me." None of them looks around and says, "God is everywhere." But because of this presentation by some deviant Muslims that Allah is everywhere, we were forced to emphasize over and over again the fact that Allah is above His creation as per the evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. So these matters have to be presented now to correct the misconceptions. Otherwise, we really don't need it. The Quran, is it the word of Allah or the creation of Allah? Many don't know the answer. Even though this is a matter that is clear like the sun, that the Quran is the word of Allah, and the word of Allah is not created. The word of Allah, Kalamullah, is not created. It's one of His sifat, one of His attributes. So the Quran which we recite is one of the attributes of Allah. It's the speech of Allah. It is not the creation of Allah like you and I. We are the creation of Allah. But the Quran is the word of Allah. And there are many evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. I will highlight only a few that would be the most relevant to the time and the khutbah. Number one. Allah Azza wa Jal makes a distinction in the Quran by saying, "Ala lahu al-khalqu wal-amr." And pay attention with me to the linguistic aspect of this presentation. Pay attention to the words that are being said in Arabic. I will explain to the best of my ability. "Ala lahu al-khalqu wal-amr." Allah said, to Him belong, al-khalq is the creation, wal-amr is the command. And there's that wow, which is the preposition and, or the art and. It's the end. So those belong to Allah. Two things. Now linguistically, whenever wow is used and, it is used to show the difference between the two things mentioned. You don't say Ahmed and Ahmed came if you're talking about the same Ahmed. You say Ahmed and Mustafa came. That and necessitates differentiation between the first which is mentioned and the second. They're not the same. And this is the case in the Arabic language. So the command of Allah and the creation of Allah are not the same. What is the command of Allah? The command of Allah is the Quran. And therefore it is not the creation. Because to Allah belongs the command and the creation. And these two are not the same. To further emphasize, Allah says in Surah Yasin, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ أمره His command إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون. Verily His command is as such that when He says to something be, then it is. So the creation is the result of the command of Allah. The command of Allah is be. Be. And the result is the creation. It is. It exists. So the creation comes from the command, therefore the creation cannot be the command. So the Quran is the command of Allah, and we are the creation of Allah, and they are not one and the same. So the Quran cannot be the creation of Allah. In Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah says, Ar-Rahman, 'allama al-Quran, khalaqa al-insan. The most merciful, the most beneficent. He taught mankind by His mercy. خلق الإنسان, He created the son of Adam. This shows you that through the Quran, the son of Adam was taught. And Allah spoke about the knowledge of Allah. And the knowledge of Allah is one of the attributes of Allah. And the attributes of Allah are not created. Therefore the Quran is not created. What is created? خلق الإنسان. He created the human being. عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ, He taught him how to articulate and speak. In Surah Al-Kahf, which you should recite on weekly basis on Jumu'ah, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَنْ تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا. Say, if the sea were to be ink, and this ink will be used to write the words of Allah, if the whole sea was ink, and this ink was all used to write the words of Allah, لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرِ, the sea would be exhausted. It would not be able to meet that challenge. Even if you were to bring another sea to its aid, وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا, no matter how many seas you bring, they are not infinite. Whereas the word of Allah is infinite. Because Allah is infinite, and the adjective describes the subject, which describing they have the same qualities. So the attribute of Allah belongs to Allah. It's infinite. Whereas the sea, it will come to an end. No matter how many seas you get and you use ink, you keep writing, they will run out. But the word of Allah will never run out. How can that be created? When we know Allah says, "Kullu man alayha fan," everyone upon it shall perish. The hadith of Khawla in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave us a very valuable lesson which we often don't apply, and I wish we would apply this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and we should apply this from this day onwards inshallah, whoever says, "I seek refuge with the perfect words of Allah from the evil which He created," when you arrive in a new area, if you say this, he will not be harmed by anything until he leaves that place. So you want to go camping, you want to go on a picnic, you want to go on a boat ride, you want to go to any location where you're settling down, where you could be exposed to different harmful elements of nature. This is the dua that we're supposed to say. Many of us don't know it, unfortunately. You seek refuge with the perfect words of Allah. If you say this dua, nothing will harm you until you leave bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. But this is for who? For the believer. The one who doubts doesn't get this guarantee. The one who believes is granted this guarantee. The evidence in this hadith is that we are seeking refuge with the perfect words of Allah. If the words of Allah were created, that means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was teaching us to seek refuge with creation. Seeking refuge with creation is shirk. How could you say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was teaching shirk when he came to establish tawheed? It is impossible. Therefore, this hadith is an evidence in and of itself that the words of Allah are not created. That's why you're allowed to seek refuge in them. You say, "A'udhu billah," or "A'udhu bi kalimatillahi." You cannot say "A'udhu bi" something else. Any creation, you're not allowed to seek refuge with it from any other harmful object. It is shirk, my brothers in faith. And the last evidence which I will cite is clear-cut hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith of Abu Huraira, wherein the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The superiority of the words of Allah over other words is like the superiority of Allah over His creation." Subhanallah. Superiority is something that is superior, higher, better, more excellent. The superiority of the words of Allah versus other words is like Allah Himself versus the creation. Allah versus the creation is creator, created. Creator, created. Therefore, the words of Allah are not created, and our words are created. It's a very simple equation. And there are multiple more evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. Besides the unanimous agreement of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een about the subject matter. But as we have learned from the history of Islam, always and forever, a group of people are exposed to some ideology, to some philosophy, or they come from other religions and they bring some of their nonsense with them and they try to integrate it into Islamic teachings. Then some of them take positions of knowledge and educating the people, and they misguide the people in the process. Then someone has to come and fix the mess. This is how Allah had decreed it. But it is a test for us. Because those who truly strive, they can see. Allah will give them the nur through which they can see the truth. Because the truth is powerful. and those who want to find excuses to maneuver and to play with the words of Allah and the deen of Allah, they will find plenty. But for each there will be a recompense on Yawm al-Qiyamah. أسأل الله يغفر الله أن يغفر لي ولكم أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. We learn from this, my brothers in faith, that one of the fundamental teachings of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is the main body of guided Muslims, not the larger number of Muslims. Numbers don't mean anything if they're not supported by the truth. Numbers don't mean anything if they're not supported by the truth. A small number with the truth are large in the sight of Allah, and a big number with falsehood are nothing in the sight of Allah. The main body of believers who were rightly guided had this principle established in our aqidah. Al-Qur'an kalamullah ghayru makhluq minhu bada' wa ilayhi ya'ud. The Quran is the speech of Allah. As Allah says, حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. If one of the mushrikeen, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if one of the mushrikeen sought refuge, he wanted to be protected, then grant him protection. حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. Until he can hear كَلَامَ اللَّهِ, the words of Allah. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. And Allah spoke to Musa directly. Allah speaks, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran is the speech of Allah. It is not created. From Allah it came. Meaning Allah spoke the verses of the Quran, and Jibreel heard them from Allah, and he delivered them to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who heard them from Jibreel, then he delivered them to the Ummah, and they will be recited until the end of time, until they go back to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu at the end of time. As you know, at the end of the time, the Quran will be raised. The Quran will be removed from the chest of the people when it's almost Qiyamah, and no one will give it its due right and virtue. It is above and beyond remaining with human beings who are unappreciative to Allah. But that would be at the end of time. Until then, it is preserved by Allah. Alhamdulillah, we are the only people on the planet who have the confidence to stand on any platform and say our scripture is the only preserved scripture in the world. No other religious figure of any religion can even say this in his wildest dreams. And if he were to say so, we would refute him 1,000 times and prove him to be a liar before the masses. But any one of you believers can do this. And their biggest religious figure cannot do this. That's what Allah gave us. Are we happy with it? We ought to be. We should be. Is it just about reciting it in Ramadan? No. It's about understanding these principles. Because everything we cited right now to prove this principle was from the book of Allah. It was revealed, لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِ, so they may reflect upon its verses. That's what the scholars do. And that's what we're supposed to do. So let us engage the Quran in this manner and make it a light that shines in our path, leading us to paradise. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us this and more. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Allahumma ya musarrif al-qulub, isrif qulubana ala ta'atik. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Brothers, it is not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to raise the hands in the dua on Jumu'ah, not for the imam nor for the ma'moon. It is not from the way of the Prophet. Never in his whole life in all the sermons he delivered. Not even once did he ever raise his hands, except when it was they were doing istisqa, seeking rain. If he did istisqa during the khutbah, he would take off his robe and put it inside out. And there was a special etiquette and an act of worship pertaining to asking Allah to send down rain. Then it becomes the sunnah for the khatib and everybody else to raise their hands as high as we can. But in standard Jumu'ah, the imam is not allowed to do this, nor the ma'moom. It's not about us following our culture. It's about what the Prophet ﷺ did and what the Sahaba did. If it was good, they would have done it. It's a very simple concept. If it was good, they would have done it. Either you know better than they do, that's amazing, or they knew something they didn't share with us. You're accusing them of betrayal. That's also bad. The only other solution is they didn't do it because it wasn't good. So why would you do something that they didn't do? How is that going to get you close to Allah? So we try to learn these with the passage of time. I don't mean to offend anyone, but I just wanted to highlight this because I see some brothers raising their hands. May Allah forgive me and forgive you. Aqim as-salah.